Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, for those of you who joined us for the second installment of Small Biz Roll Call this morning, what fun we had! I just love how technology allows us to connect to each other in such an uplifting and encouraging way. If you missed us live this morning, you can catch the video at the Indie Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/IndieBusinessFans and click on the Ustream Live link right under my picture, and you will be able to check out the video if you missed it this morning. So those of you who were there were fantastic. We had a contest. Someone won some fabulous products. We had the sharing of really exciting news of small businesses and IBN members in particular who are getting their products on retail store shelves around the country, celebrating anniversaries of being in business for many years and just enjoying encouraging each other and lifting each other up. And we're going to continue doing that with our show today. I am so excited to welcome to Indie Business Podcast Mike Schultz. He is the president of Rain Group, a world-renowned consultant and expert in sales and training and sales performance improvement. He has been on my show once before, which is so fantastic. I love having these prolific authors and small business gurus on my show. His newest book is called Rainmaking Conversations, Influence, Persuade, and Sell in Any Situation. And this is Mike Schultz's new book, also co-authored by his colleague, John Doerr. Mike, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thanks, Donna Marie. It's great to be here.
Well, Mike, you know, your book is called Rainmaking, and so for those of people who don't know, I know you have an acronym for RAIN for purposes of what you do. Can you start by letting people who don't know what rainmaking is in general? What do people mean when they talk about making rain?
Yeah, so rainmaking is a very traditional term in the world of sales, especially in larger businesses, and it originated in professional services businesses. So, for example, a law firm. Law firm might have 200 people working at the law firm. You think, wow, geez, then they must all be out developing business. Well, no, even at a 200-person law firm, you probably only have 3, 4, 5 guys that had historically brought in the bulk of the business. And they used to call them rainmakers. As a matter of fact, the John Grisham book, The Rainmaker, is about a lawyer who brings in lots of business and is looking for business. So it's a pretty typical term used in the world of sales across all industries, not just services but products. And so we like the title Rainmaking Conversations because we wanted to look at, for this particular book and the research that we've been doing over the last decade that culminated in the book, what happens inside the conversations, not just of good salespeople who can be successful, but the kind of salespeople that sell the broadest solutions, that win the most deals, that have the highest dollar value and margins to their deals, and that are able to continue their sales success year after year after year. What is it that these top salespeople do to bring in the most rain and bring in the most to make the most rain and bring in the most business, and thus the title, Rainmaking Conversations, Influence, Persuade, and Sell in Any Situation.
Thank you for that overview. Mike, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you able to call in from a different line? I'm hearing a little bit of a scratch on your line. I don't know if you can hear that.
I just changed handsets. Is that any better? Donna Maria?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here, but we're going to continue. If you don't have the opportunity to switch, that's fine. We are,
nope.
You know, we're live, so we just kind of have to take it as it comes. And
well, while we're talking, I'll dial in on another number.
Oh, that would be great if you could do that. Let's see if that will work. Let's take a break because we're recording this, so let's see if that works. Let's go ahead and disconnect if we could, Mike, and call back in on that other number, and we'll take it from where we left off.
You bet.
Thanks, everyone. We're just going to take a quick break here. We've got some great information to share with you from Mike. Stand by so we can get you a better audio connection. Thank you for your patience, everyone. You know, it's great that we are able to have live shows, and it's also wonderful that we record them and we edit them so that the recorded version won't have our issue here. Let's welcome Mike back. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Donna Maria.
Oh, that's a much better line. So fantastic. Mike, thank you so much for sharing that overview of the traditional meaning of making rain. Tell us what your acronym is for RAIN, R-A-I-N, as you describe it in your book, Rainmaking Conversations.
Sure. So one of the things that we started doing about 10 years ago was looking at all of the problems and challenges that buyers had when trying to purchase in a business-to-business perspective from sellers. So a lot of people think, okay, well, what do you do to sell well? And we all fancy ourselves client-focused and customer-focused businesses, but we all often don't head down the path of doing everything we can to live by that. So even from our research perspective, we wanted to look at buyers and study the problems, desires, challenges that buyers have when trying to buy. And when we looked at buyers, the most common problems that they reported running into when trying to purchase were things like the seller didn't listen to me, the seller didn't understand my needs, the seller didn't craft a compelling solution for my needs, and the seller didn't convince me of the value of buying what it was that they were selling. And we thought, okay, those are some pretty bad challenges, and we found about 20 common challenges, but we wanted to know, all right, which ones, if you were to actually fix these problems, if the buyers didn't run into them, which ones would directly affect the sales success on the seller side because the buyer would be more inclined to buy? And the top problems they ran into were also the top ones that if you do something about them, will have the buyers buying all that much more. And indeed, when they didn't run into these problems, they ended up purchasing a lot more from other people when the processes went more smoothly. So we started to think, okay, what can we do to have some kind of simple solution that people can remember that will, if they not just remember it, but follow it and follow a conversation process to allow the conversations to go the right way, to make sure that not only did the problems go away, but all the good stuff happened. The flip side of the bad stuff are things like they did listen to me, they did understand my needs, they crafted a compelling solution, and I really believed I understood the, I really believed in the value that they were selling, and that was RAIN. And it starts with R for rapport, and that's making a personal connection to people. And rapport kind of gets a bad rap in the world of sales. It was pretty popular as a sales training concept, but even up through the 1950s. But it was poo-pooed a lot in, you know, quote-unquote consultative selling methodologies because it was a contrived way to make a connection. Well, we just take out the word contrived. You have to make a real connection with people. And it's funny, something I actually saw recently was a CBS News New York Times poll that asked people, in general, how many people that you run into are trustworthy? And they asked a lot of people this question, and they answered that as 30%. Then they asked people, how many people do you know are trustworthy? And the answer is 70%. And it's a statistical impossibility that we just happen to be that lucky that you run into people and get to know them, and you just happen to run into the more trustworthy people by more than double what the normal population is for trustworthy. And that's because getting to know someone and getting to like someone, it builds trust. And it also allows, if you have that kind of trust and rapport, it opens up their willingness to share with you what's going on. And that's where the A comes in. A stands for aspirations and afflictions. Now, again, in the sales training world, we all know about uncovering problems and pain. But oftentimes, it's not just problems and pain that we uncover. There are things that we can do with our products and services that buyers might not even be thinking about, that if they were actually to purchase them, would help them reach their goals, would help them feel better, will help them feel younger, more successful, and good-looking. And it's not necessarily that they have a kind of problem, but they buy based on the aspirations they have. So we wanted the A to stand not just for something that was problem-focused or pain-focused, but also goal and aspiration-focused. The I stands for impact. Now, if you uncover a problem or if you uncover an aspiration and you go, a lot of people go straight to solutions from there. Oh, I can fix that. The question is, what will the impact be if I fix that? And a lot of times, those of us that are good at needs discovery, you've seen this all the time, they uncover problem after problem after problem with someone that they're selling to. But it would be a massively huge solution to solve everything, and we can't, even just ourselves in our days, we have to pick and choose things that are going to make the biggest difference. And until you can help someone see the impact of solving certain problems, then they won't see the quote-unquote value.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get them to see not just the ROI impact or the business impact, but as well the emotional impact and how different they're going to feel if they buy from you. So impact is amazingly important. And then the last part is new reality. Let's say that they understand the impact, they understand that we can help them fix that, and then you say, okay, here's what we'll do, and it's just a little series of bullet points on a proposal, or you simply just tell them this is what it is. Until they can see it, until they can picture it, until they know what it looks like when their world is different, it's very hard for them to visualize it, and it's oftentimes hard for them to buy it. And as well, if there are multiple buyers involved, if you don't give them something that can help them visualize it, then they can't justify the purchase sometimes to the other people they need to do it. So the N stands for new reality. If you can help them see the new reality, then you can help them succeed in sales. So that's RAIN, R-A-I-N. And two other quick things there. The A and the I stand for aspirations and afflictions and impact, but they also double for helping you remember to balance advocacy and inquiry. Advocacy, how much you tell people things, and inquiry, how many questions you ask. And the I and the N also double as a reminder that it's your job to influence people and to help them see things in a different way and get them to take the actions that you think will be best for them to take.
Thank you so much for sharing that. RAIN, you guys, really easy to remember. Develop rapport, learn about people's aspirations and their afflictions, figure out what impact points you can have, and then introduce them to the new reality of how you can help them with the product or service you offer. That is really easy to remember, Mike. We're gonna be carrying that around in our knapsacks of knowledge. I love one of the sections in your book where you have this quote from Emily Post, and I think this is really important for us to talk with our listeners today about, Mike, because so many people, especially small business owners, and you know that our listeners are independent business owners. These are very small companies, solopreneurs, doing most of the things themselves, and they don't really have a sales background or even experience from a professional perspective selling in a business environment. I love this quote from your book. Emily Post says this, "Ideal conversation must be an exchange of thought and not, as many of those who worry most about their shortcomings believe, an eloquent exhibition of wit or oratory." I love that that starts off your book. Mike, does that encourage us and help us share with people that, you know, you don't have to be all fancy and, you know, take a billion classes in order to do this right? You just have to really, exchange ideal conversations with people. Share a little bit about how you can encourage small business owners from that perspective, Mike.
Sure. First of all, I'm glad you like the quote, and we did choose to open the book with that, and there are a couple of different reasons. One, it's a nice tee-up for the whole book, that people try, I think there are two things that hold people back in sales. One of them is skill, the actual ability to do something. If you follow RAIN, you can do a good job with the skill, especially things like so that it should be an exchange of thought. To exchange thought, you can't just be talking at people.
Mm-hmm.
So many of us in sales, when people first get into sales, they think I have to put on airs or pitch, or have a different personality than I have. And then someone else might learn, oh, geez, someone told me that selling was about asking great questions. So I just pepper people with question after question after question, which gets kind of frustrating and annoying if you're the buyer. And you're not learning anything. You're learning, okay, they know what questions to ask, but I haven't learned anything. So that balancing advocacy and inquiry, the A and the I in RAIN, the thing that it doubles for, just serves as a reminder to have a conversation like a normal conversation. Think of yourself out on a date. If you just start talking about yourself, you, Donna Maria, you and I are out on a date, and it's 45 minutes in, and I haven't shut up about me again. You know, it doesn't work that well. It's not particularly endearing. You want to ask questions about the other people, other person, but as well, you don't want to be completely silent. You want to share some things about you, a funny, interesting story, not for so long that you're just droning on about yourself, but enough to share insight and to have people connect to the things that you're thinking as well. So if you can find that balance of advocacy and inquiry, you can hit that, you can very quickly, without that much training, have your sales conversation go that much more naturally. So that's the skill side. The other side is just your mindset about it. I mentioned it a second ago. We don't want to put on airs or think you have to be different in sales. A lot of times when you say to someone who hasn't done sales before, tell me what you think about salespeople, it's all about being pushy, it's all about trying to foist something on someone, you know, up in your face, and being able to give a great pitch and presentation. That's not really what it's all about. It's about making connections. And people make connections to people when they do it in a contrived way. It never comes across as sincere and genuine. And if you just tell yourself, I'm going to be myself, I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to connect with people using my own personality, and then just apply some of the skill things that for example, that we talk about in the book, even just following the RAIN process, to help you understand how the conversation should flow and the elements of the conversation, then you can be that much more successful without, you know, as you said, taking 10,000 classes after 10,000 classes.
Oh, such great points. And such an encouraging summary, too, for independent business owners, Mike, because, you know, we just look at that sales idea, as you just said, and sort of cringe and think about all the people who've tried to, you know, drive us nuts with their sales pitches over the years. And we don't want to be like those people. So this RAIN analogy really helps. And along those lines, you know, let's cover really quickly some things that will absolutely kill your conversations on impact, so to speak. Your book talks about some of these killers that make your conversation dead on arrival. Can you share some of the don'ts with us?
Killers that can make your conversation dead on arrival. Those are some of the obvious things. It's basically if you do the bizarro world of RAIN. For those of you that aren't super nerds like I am, Bizarro is one of Superman's nemeses. The S on his chest goes backwards, and he walks backwards, and kryptonite makes him stronger, not weaker. And so if you don't build rapport and you just dive into business stuff, oftentimes that creates a disconnect and an icy conversation. And if you drone on about yourself, or if you just ask question after question, or if you can't ask the questions that would uncover needs because you don't even know what the needs are that your products and services can solve. And that sounds like, who doesn't know that? But you take a good, hard look at what you offer. And a lot of people think, I know what I offer, but they really don't know what other people value about it. Especially in a small business, you don't have that much context sometimes. And all sorts of conversations you can have with people at your own company to understand what their clients value about what it is that you sell. So you're left as a little bit of an island. But if you look at everything through the customer perspective, and you can think about to them what the problems are, to them what their aspirations are, and then for those people that have used your product and service, how their lives are different. If you can understand their words that they use for these things, then you can be a lot more effective in selling. So those are some of the ones that are dead on arrival, just the big core misses.
And you also talk, Mike, about how, and this is so encouraging, that your attitude and your intent trump your skills. So this is such welcome news for very small business owners. Tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those things where, you know, if you believe you can, you can, and if you believe you can't, you can't. I was actually having a coaching conversation this morning with one of my clients at a very large business here in the New England area, and he's a senior level manager, and he has a guy that wants to work his way up to become a mid level manager, and he was having trouble helping him to understand what he needs to do next. And part of it, is a big, one of the big problems was his communication skills.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about it, and he was asking for tips and ideas. And I said, well, if he really applied himself, could he already do that probably anyway? Yeah, well, he's a smart guy. He could do that. So, well, you know, if he took the time to analyze the situation and wanted to practice the communication before, do you think he'd get it about right? And he said, yeah, he probably would. Then I asked him a question. I said, those things that you told him that he needs to do to get to the next level, does he believe he needs to do them to make him successful, or does he believe he needs to do them so you'll promote him? He said, no, he thinks that they're a load of crap, and he's doing them to go through the motions. And I said, as long as he believes that, do you think everyone else notices that too? And he said, well, yeah, absolutely, because, you know, it's very hollow. And I said, okay, do you think his people, if you started to assign more people to work for him, do you think they'd respect it? He's like, no, there's no way that his attitude, that he could hold that in, you know, that rubs off on people. And you sense that bitterness and negativity. I said, well, until he changes his belief system, all the skills in the world aren't going to help him. Now let's imagine for a minute he was a smart guy that didn't have the skills but was completely bought in. He believed in himself. He believed in the company. He believed in you. He believed that tomorrow can be a better day. And he's just new at this. And he said, oh, I could have him firing on all thrusters in 6 months with his communication stuff. And so it's just a little bit of an example of someone saying they might have the skills, but if you're not doing, if your head isn't in the right place, you won't be doing them at all. And if you feel like you have to go through the motions for something, you're never going to get the output that you would have and the outcomes that you would have if you jumped in with both feet, if you really believed. And again, it starts with believing in yourself, but it also, you know, you have to find your way of connecting with whatever it is that you're doing and seeing its value, or else you'll just be that person that is punching in and punching out, even for your own business, and it'll never get to the place where you want it to get.
Mike, do you find that the best way to learn this is actually by, depending on what level of comfort you have, I'll use this word, sort of stumbling through it and just doing it and being awkward for a little while, however, letting your enthusiasm and your positive attitude shine through?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like if you want to make a peanut butter cup, should you start with the peanut butter or should you start with the chocolate? Well, you know what? At the end of the day, you need peanut butter and chocolate. Your attitude, your belief system, and your enthusiasm. By the way, you don't have to be big and enthusiastic. My business partner, John, who's the co-author of the book, has a quiet enthusiasm. He's not bouncing around the room. He's a solid, quieter kind of guy. But the positive attitude and the belief in himself and the belief in his direction and the belief in his people, you know, are very clear and they're there. So to get there, I mean, we all sort of bring what we bring to the table, but coaching can help a lot with that.
Yeah.
Someone to help you figure out what are your goals. Not just what are your goals so you can have a set of goals on the table, but what do you want out of life and what do you want out of your business? And if you can work with someone to help you crystallize that, you can get in great shape there. So there's the chocolate. Peanut butter, you still need the skills. If you have someone with a great attitude that isn't prepared to have a discussion with someone in a way that's going to lead to the best outcome, then you have a pile of chocolate. You don't have a peanut butter cup. You need the peanut butter, the skills, to be able to succeed in the conversation. And I think formal education is something that is necessary for people to go through. If you haven't been through a great sales training program, you should. Of course, we happen to like ours, but you should go through sales training, read the book, understand the components, and then you can work through continued training and coaching processes as you hone and develop your skills. You can think of this almost like a craft. You can go to carpentry school. I could go to carpentry school but still not be quite ready to build a house. You need to work with people and apprentice and get coaching and ask questions and find yourself struggling through how to do a particular thing and then both working through it and as well getting advice Next thing you know, 5 years from now, you're a hell of a good carpenter, and when you got out of carpentry school, you knew how the tools worked, you knew how to look things up, you knew how to figure certain things out. But until you practice and have both successes and failures, you don't really get good at it. So I think that balance of formal training, classroom skills, reading articles and practicing goes along with getting out there and doing it and getting coaching along the way to improve.
Good tips. And certainly your book serves as, I think, a great place to start for anyone who wants sort of some introductory tips and also advanced tips as well on tackling this sales issue. And this is Mike Schultz and John Doerr's new book, Rainmaking Conversations. In conclusion, Mike, I want to ask you what you think about the importance of having systems to systematize your outreach and get to the point where you can systematize it so you can use it better. Do you agree that that's something, a goal that we should all have?
Yeah, and there are two kinds of systems that I think if you have them in place can make you a lot more effective. The first one is a method. If you know how to go into a sales call, you've planned for it right, and you plan for your sales calls the same way. What's my competitive situation? What are my advantages for this sales call? What are my disadvantages given that what I know about the situation? What are my goals for this call? So there's everything from planning call to planning your day. We have a particular goal and action planning system that can allow you to stay on track and continue to get more and more actions that get you where you want to go. So there's the method. There's the conversation method. If you understand and systematize your conversations, then they'll go very differently. It's not like they're all going to go the same. But if you know, if I don't make a connection, if I don't uncover aspirations and afflictions, if they don't see the impact of doing something or not doing something, they don't see how it's going to be better when they buy what it is that I sell, then I'm going to be out of luck. So if you follow the method, you can be a lot more successful. As well, there are things to systematize your process. I know a lot of people that recreate the wheel when it comes to writing proposals, when it comes to writing marketing materials, when it comes to writing emails, when it comes to writing blog posts. And if you can plan in advance the things that you need, even if you're in your own business, to have the collateral ready to go so you don't have to type them up every time, to have your lead generation process be regular and ongoing, so you're always filling the front end of your pipeline or always driving more traffic to yourself or your site or your store or whatever it is that you want to drive traffic to. If you do them as processes that continue to feed on each other, then you won't have that problem that so many independent professionals have across the board, having that feast or famine, because, hey, I'm really busy, so since I haven't systematized and set up a process for lead generation, well, I'm going to be doing a lot of work right now, and the next thing I know, it's going to be a famine because I haven't done any work on the front end of my pipeline. So you want to think about the processes that you run your business, and if you can have them and going the way you want, then you'll never have that up and down nature that so many small businesses tend to have. So method and systems and processes help quite a bit.
Fantastic tips from our guest today, Mike Schultz, co-author of Rainmaking Conversations, Influence, Persuade, and Sell in Any Situation. Mike has some great programs and content at his website. You can check them out at www.raingroup.com and also raintoday.com. I encourage you to follow Mike on Twitter at Mike_Schultz, and of course you can get his book, Rainmaking Conversations, at your local bookstore and of course on Amazon.com. We've got a few seconds left, Mike. How exciting is this? You're great. You're in the Boston, Massachusetts area. Is that where you are?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, you guys need to check Mike out. Follow him on Twitter. Go to raintoday.com to get information. Great to have you here on Indie Business Podcast. See you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.